AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Sven Sundgaard, of course, brings us the news from bringmethenews.com. He brings us the weather forecast over there. You can find his YouTube channel as well. And Premier Living, you can find all sorts of great information about the weather. Best weather guy in town, kind enough to join us on a Thursday to talk about the mysterious weather I saw this afternoon. Rain. Uh-oh. It was rain.
Oh, it was... I'm like, don't put me on the spot here. I don't know what you said.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, the national... Well, the National Weather Service put out a tweet today that said this is up until today, and I got to find out what the measurable amount was over at MSP, but they said it is the least amount of rain, even beating 1988, we've ever had in the summer season, 7 days total of measurable rainfall, and we got some today. At least I had some in Hopkins, but yeah. But it was, you know, it's once again we are in these extreme rates that we just, it is amazing how little rain we have been able to get here in Minnesota.
Yeah. So I just looked for you. It's 0.06 inches is what the airport got.
Okay.
Yeah. Not anything to write home about, but you know, it's funny because I posted a radar loop earlier this morning saying, hey, there's some showers coming through. The good news is this will prevent us from hitting 90. It's just not going to do much, but people are still getting excited about it. Even just to feel like, wetness.
Well, it's funny because you drive on the roads, the same people who were only like 6 months ago were driving 65 miles an hour on ice covered roads, all of a sudden a little rain comes down and they're terrified. As you said though, and you've been very clear, not only with this bout of showers that came through today, but as well with this amount of water that's coming out of it, it's going to be too scattered and it's just not going to be enough water. Did anyone get any substantial rain out of the storm, or was it pretty much minimal?
No, you know, the most was about 0.1 inch or so north of the Twin Cities. Central Minnesota did have a little bit more. These showers started out a little more intense in the west central part of the state. They're basically kind of riding a finger of high dew points that were feeding into Minnesota all the way up into North Dakota. I actually outlined it in my weather video today, so when you post that later, people can watch that. But yeah, all the a very narrow plume that was maybe about 100 miles wide. That kind of shot out of Iowa, being drawn into a low pressure that's in North Dakota. So it's kind of literally sucking the moisture in. Combine that with, we had what's called a low-level jet stream. So you hear about jet streams all the time, you know, 20, 30,000 feet up. But we get, especially in the summer months, low-level jet streams, which are only a few thousand feet above the ground. And they can get going 30 to 50 miles an hour. So not as strong as a jet stream. But it's enough to provide lift. You can imagine if you have a 50-mile-an-hour wind a half mile up, it does draw air upward when you combine it with enough instability. And that's what happened today. We had just that cluster of showers that kind of filled in on the nose of that jet, enough moisture, just enough instability, but not enough to do enough.
The story out of the Star Trib, which I thought was funny, is like the kind of the talking of the idea of, well, if a major river on the North Shore, Gooseberry Falls, if the waterfall dries up, is that the kind of implication is that, is that really that bad? I'm no scientist, I'm no climate person, but I would say one of the most high destination areas in the state during the summer, the falls on the North Shore, if they're starting to dry up, I mean, we really are getting into, you know, unprecedented times as regards to this drought.
Yeah, you know, and part of the draw, at least to me, of going to Gooseberry Falls in the summer, is that the falls aren't as intense normally late in the summer, so you can kind of wade through the pools and enjoy maybe a little closer view of the falls, but they shouldn't stop. It does happen, but it's pretty rare. And in that part of the state too, we got to remember that's dense forest. You know, it requires more moisture and a combination of cooler temperatures, hence less evaporation than us in the southern part of the state. Twin Cities, remember, we're kind of on the edge of two biomes, the tall grass prairie, and the eastern deciduous forest really doesn't go farther west than the Twin Cities. So we can get by with less water on an annual basis than places in northeastern Minnesota. So, yeah, it's tough on the woods up there. And, you know, a couple of my followers brought up some good points that I hadn't actually thought of until they asked. And they said, you know, the air quality is bad for all of us, you know, even for healthy people at one point on Wednesday. But what about the wildlife? What effect does that have, you know, on them when there's fires and smoke constantly and they don't have somewhere to go that's air conditioned or filtered? And I don't know. That's a good question. And I don't know. Maybe if you have some listeners that are biologists that could help us answer that question. Are there studies? Is it worth doing a study? And how would you do that? I suppose you'd have to track the same moose or the same wolf for a period of time to see if that has an effect on them.
Well, and by the way, if there is someone out there that knows this, you can tag both Sven and I on Twitter, and we'll get this information. Because the way I would think about it from your earlier forecast this last week, where you're talking about the air quality, I mean, we'd have to go up to the Bemidji area where they were getting some Park Rapids.
Really,
yeah, and then the other place I thought of right away was go up to Ely, the International Wolf Center. I don't know if they've done any kind of research on whether forest fires and the smoke permeating with a weather pattern affects the wolves up there, but they obviously have always had wolves at that location, or they've had them for a while. That would be the area. So if anyone does know, I think that is fascinating because it, you know, the humans, I mean, you had a great picture of someone up on the Brainerd area. I mean, it looked like London. I mean, that's how smoky it was up there. And that clearly is kind of scary when you think about the health crisis we've had. But clearly, anyone that has any kind of lung condition, that's got to be, you're stuck inside in the summer.
Yeah, I heard from several people who do have asthma and chronic lung issues who said they had to go to the ER. It got that bad for them at one point. And I know for myself, Wednesday was the day I really noticed.
Yeah.
Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I can't remember now, but it was in the evening. I was biking back from the gym as I normally do. And I was like, wow, it is actually a little harder to breathe. And my throat feels scratchy, like I'm, you know, inhaling campfire or something. And, you know, that's the thing that struck me is after a couple of days getting used to it, I was finally able to put my finger on what it smelled like to me constantly. And that's Cairo, Egypt. I've been there a few times, and the air quality is just awful. It always looks foggy, and it's air pollution. And so, you know, it's not healthy to breathe it there. So even for us to breathe it for a few days, I know I sure wouldn't want this to be like the new norm every summer.
It was Tuesday night, and you had actually talked about that as well, because I went out, and the moon was a bright orange with the smoke.
Yes,
and
that was Tuesday then.
Did you? And the thing which was wild is I went out, and it's like, is it getting hotter? That evening, so the sun went down, it felt like it was actually getting warmer outside. It was not a pleasant thing. The good news is, and now the fires that were giving this that you'd mentioned were the ones that were up in Canada on the border of Ontario and Manitoba. The winds have changed. Now we got the southern pattern that you've been referring to.
For the
time being, right? That's moving in. Where is that smoke now all to New York? They're acting like this is a big deal out in New York City. We've been dealing with this for a while.
Well, yeah, it is kind of funny. I always think, you know, it's the same thing with any weather. Once, you know, we could have a foot of snow, it gets to New York and it's 4 inches and it's, you know, the top of all the nightly news that the Northeast is getting ready for, you know, major weather. And we're like, we already had this and it was worse here. But yeah, same thing with the smoke. But it was bad there. And our smoke, I've been watching all week, waiting for it to get to Europe. It hasn't quite. It's kind of gotten sucked into a storm system, a big low in the Atlantic, but it got very close. Coast of Spain. It did reach Iceland and Greenland over the last few days. And so, you know, that's why our air quality isn't like 100% right now, is that smoke has spread so much over North America that even though the wind is out of the south now, they had air quality alerts across parts of Missouri too from our smoke. So it's just that the smoke is getting spread out more for now. And it is worth noting that it was kind of the perfect storm earlier this week, that we had a high pressure sitting right on top of those fires. And air moves out from a surface high pressure clockwise. And so it just lined up perfectly to push out all the smoke into Minnesota instead of just getting an occasional passing blow of it like we have been.
And we've had that happen before. Just the weather pattern sets up and then just we're on the beltway to get all that in there. I didn't notice it smelled so bad until this morning, until right before it kind of things switched around and I was smelling smoke. But then all of a sudden that was the first time I had. But you couldn't deny the clarity of the air. The rain showers that came through were a nice little change. I definitely. Hey, look, a darker cloud. How nice.
That's not smoke.
That was not smoke. And I heard a thunderclap, which was.
Yeah, there were a couple.
Wow. We do have a chance. It sounds like there is some rain that's going to come through possibly tomorrow night. Is that true?
Yeah, tomorrow night's our best chance really for a while. There's another fleeting chance Monday night. But, you know, in this drought pattern, I don't know if I talked about it here before, but we have a thing called persistence forecasting. It's very technical, but it is an actual thing in meteorology that says if you are in a pattern that's lasted for 6 to 8 weeks like this, just assume that that's going to continue until and forecast that until something breaks it. You know, so in other words, we see this big, let's pretend it's September and let's hope this doesn't last this long, but it could. And you're seeing this big storm that looks like it's going to give us a widespread 2 inches of rain and then another one and another one. Don't forecast it completely or believe it until it's on top of us and then adjust things. So that's basically what we're looking at. So any chance of rain past 72 hours, we're in a point right now where I don't take it seriously. I'll put the chance out there, but, you know, there's nothing serious other than tomorrow night for a while. In fact, it's just going to get so hot that things will just dry out. So no matter what we get is going to be sort of irrelevant. But we are looking at that low I was talking about in North Dakota is going to slide east. And it's basically a dry line. If you've heard of those that come out of Texas and Oklahoma, that aren't really cool fronts, but they are a change in humidity because behind it, we're actually going to be hotter. Very rare that we get these in Minnesota, but it's basically just a shift in humidity. But it does act the same as a cool front. So we're going to see some storms pop into eastern North Dakota, northwestern Minnesota late tomorrow afternoon and form a line. And if that holds together, we could see some storms in the metro between maybe 9 p.m. midnight. And then because we'll get another one of these low-level jets forming, we could get some clusters of showers or thunderstorms to develop later in the night. So anytime between 9 p.m. and, say, 3 or 4 a.m. Saturday, there is the chance of some scattered storms. But we're, as it seems like is often the case here, relying on stuff that's going to be hit and miss and relying on it holding together, if it can hold together or not.
And you have already mentioned there have been times where it looked like we're about to get some surefire rain in the metro, but because of the dry conditions that storm has to go through, it kind of sucks all the moisture out of that storm, which brings up an interesting another point. We are starting, it seems like the weather is changing so much that it's affecting other weather. They had the forest fire out in Oregon, in southern Oregon, that is creating its own weather and pattern. And you do kind of get these extremes, as you just sort of said, you know, it doesn't matter now. You can have forecast rain, but, you know, there are some times where just even this the dryness that that rain has to go through kind of negates it and disperses the rainstorm. So what looks like a surefire thing is just not going to happen.
Yeah, and part of what we rely on for humidity, I mean, the Gulf of Mexico is by far our biggest source for a big chunk of the year. But if the ground, the soil is so dry around the area, that does have an impact. And we talked about that before, too, is this has been a hot summer, but it really hasn't been that humid. The last couple of days have been noticeably humid, and that's been kind of a rarity, where dew points have been well into the 60s, if not near 70. And I know it's uncomfortable, but we really what we you want to happen is to have this humidity stick around so that when any disturbances come through, it has a better chance of forming rain. But instead, tomorrow night's our narrow window where we'll have humidity and we'll have a front come through. And then beyond that, dew points plummet for the weekend. It's just going to be stupid hot, mid-90s, sunshine. We're talking about relative humidities that could be down to 15-20%. So everything just dries out even more. So we need the humidity around. And yeah, when you have a large enough area where it's just scorched, it does act kind of like a sponge and absorb even a bit of humidity. And I do want to mention that, you know, and I talked about this in my video today so people can dive into the details more, but the weekly drought monitor is updated today, and it's, of course, bad news. 98% of Minnesota is in drought. That's unchanged, but severe drought now is 72% of the state, and extreme drought now is up to about a fifth of the state. And that's a lot for us. And I show a national map, too. The West is obviously much more behind in terms of percentages of water over a larger time. But when you look at how much we're behind in terms of the amount, the inches of water we're behind for the past 60 days, Minnesota is the worst in the country right now. We are the reddest. We are the driest. When you look at how many inches of water are we behind for a 60-day period, it's a widespread 3 to 6 inches across the state that we would need. And remember that every day we don't get rain, we're adding to that deficit. So if you think, oh, but if we get an inch tomorrow night, well, that doesn't matter because every day we need to get basically 0.2 inches of rain to just level off if you're thinking balancing a budget or something. So it's almost, I don't want to say impossible, but it's going to take a very wet fall at this point to take us out of the drought. No matter almost what happens in August, it's going to take a wet fall to get us out of this.
Well, and it should be mentioned that after we get past tomorrow night, I mean, these extended forecasts now that you're seeing out are basically saying very little chance of rain. As a matter of fact, well into August at this point, you know, this is only going to get worse. And then this in the heat dome that's coming in that you're saying, is it going to be right over us, the new heat dome, or is it going to be?
It's going to be close. Yeah, there's still that chance of triple digits at some point this weekend or next week, especially if we see these dew points drop so much. The lower the humidity, the better chance of us hitting 100. It's, in fact, very rare that we hit triple digits when it's humid also. So people are thinking of heat index. It's negligible in those conditions. But it does dry things out much more because the relative humidity is almost nothing when you're that warm with very little water. But yeah, it's basically ping-ponging between the Rockies and the central part of the continent, which obviously puts us kind of in the line of fire. And really until so the America model goes out 16 days, it doesn't have that going anywhere through August 5th. So there's no sign of any major cool down. And in fact, it could get hotter before it gets cool around here, but definitely count on a string of 90s here. We're actually lucky that yesterday and today were sub 90, thanks to just because there were some clouds and then some midday showers, but I don't foresee that happening. Once we head into tomorrow and the next several days.
So 90s tomorrow, start tomorrow. How many days in a row are we going to get in 90s, do you think?
Yeah, probably 6 to 8. Jeez. We had 2 earlier this week. So, yeah, if you're keeping track, we're at 16 so far. 13 is normal for an entire summer. Hey, you know, we're halfway through summer at least.
Well,
past the halfway point.
Yeah, we'll only end up with 26 days and 90 or more. My God.
Oh, that's assuming. Okay, now, of course, that's assuming if we get 6 to 8 more, you know, that means 22 to 24 90s. Of course, then you assume we have no more 90s the entire month of August, which I don't know about you, but if I had to place a bet, I imagine we'll see a couple more.
It's a mess right now. Oh, my. All right. I promise we'll get that video posted up of today's weather forecast. Follow Sven Premier Living. I'll make sure I get that link up. I'll get the link to the Bring Me the News. And, of course, the YouTube page. If you're not following him on YouTube, you're just wrong, because that's where you're going to get the best weather information every time that Sven has a forecast. Sven, it's depressing, but thank God you're giving us this news. I appreciate
the strength.
Go ahead.
At this point, why not go for the record of 42.90 set in 1988? You know, it's within striking distance.
It is, but we'd have to have a pretty rough August, wouldn't we?
It would. It would. And let's pray that does not happen.
Indeed. Sven Sundgaard, thank you very much, Sven. We'll talk to you next week. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.